In this episode of Monday Moments, we're talking about conflict, so sit back and stay tuned for more. Hey there, welcome to another episode of Monday Moments, the show in which we take a deeper dive into Sunday's sermon. My name is Travis, your host. With me today is Pastor James. And as I said at the beginning, we're talking about conflict, but not that kind of conflict. We're talking about internal conflict, yeah. I would say. Not necessarily conflict between two or more people, although maybe you could say, you know, you might have some conflict with some things that Jesus said. Because that was kind of the crux of your message on Sunday.
Yeah.
It, you know, Jesus said some hard things to his followers and ended up, you know, having a lot of them walk away from him. So diving right into things, you talked about Jesus's words really challenging us and challenging us, whether we are Christians, not a Christians, doesn't matter. At some point, as we are following Jesus, his words are going to challenge us. Why is that?
How long do you have? Yeah.
In 10 minutes or less.
Yeah. You know, always, the scripture says that the heart is deceitful and ultimately wicked. I think that there's this part of it which is why salvation becomes so significant, because the Bible defines it as being reborn, a new birth. And in other words, he says that he makes all things new.
Yeah.
And it's a process. Like, becoming new is a process. And God's word is always challenging us with things in our life that are still reflective of the old life and things like that. And so we have to decide whether or not we're going to submit to that process of becoming new. And anytime you read God's word, you come across these things that they're just in conflict with my beliefs, my preferences, all of these different things. And so we have daily, oftentimes, choices to make as to whether or not I'm going to adhere to how I'm feeling about these things, or whether or not I'm going to really lean into what God's word says, and try to do that to the best of my capacity.
Yeah, you know, I think of the Apostle Paul. It's weirdly encouraging that he wrote, I think in Romans, he talked about, oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I do the very things I hate. The good that I want to do, I don't do.
Yeah.
The things I don't want to do, I do. And so who will save me? And he was describing this internal conflict. He describes it as a war. There's a war going on inside of him between his spirit and his flesh.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you're getting at, is it doesn't matter if we've just became a Christian yesterday, or if we've been walking with the Lord for, you know, over 20 years or 30 years or whatever it is. There's always that piece of us that's got that flesh, that fleshly nature, as the Bible calls it. And you spoke a little bit on Sunday morning about objective truth versus subjective truth. Could you maybe talk a little bit more about that? How do you see that being fitting into this conversation?
Yeah, you know, subjective truth is truth based upon my feelings. It's it's based upon how I perceive something, how I view those different things. And so it's subjective truth is all self-directed truth. And so I look at it, and it's through the lens of my experience. It's through the lens of how I feel about things. And so much of what we experience in this world actually encourages subjective truth in our life. Hey, you know, if you feel this way about it, well, here's what I oftentimes, that's your truth.
Right.
You know, and I'm supposed to respect your truth, and you're supposed to respect my truth, and all these different things, which means that if there's subjective truth, it means that there is no truth.
Right.
There can't be, because there's no basis to say, well, if your truth is one thing and my truth about that same thing is something else, then who's right? We can't all be right regarding these things. And so when we talk about subjective versus objective, objective truth is based upon the facts.
Right.
And if we see God's word as being the only infallible truth that we have, then anything about my truth that is in conflict with God's word, the only one can be right, which means that the other one is wrong. And if God's word is the objective truth that we are to live our lives by, then anything in my life that is in opposition to God's word has to change.
Yeah.
I have to change.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, what we have done in many ways is that we have turned the Bible into a subjective source of truth.
Right.
I read it and I say, that makes me uncomfortable. I look at these things and I say, well, that was only for them. Mm-hmm. I do that. And we get rid of the fact that the Bible says that it is infallible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It says that it is timeless.
Right.
It says that it is living and active, that it is able to divide into these things. And anytime we're uncomfortable with it, unfortunately, we just essentially what we do is we just kind of push it to the side and we say, well, that's subjective.
Right.
I don't feel that way. I don't think that that should be right. This makes me uncomfortable. And so we just kind of wash it away.
Yeah.
If any part of it's not true, then it throws into conflict the entire word that we have. And so how we view God's word really, really does matter.
Right. Yeah, either we're going to change and come into alignment with God's word, or we're going to change God's word. Not that we can actually do that, but that in our minds, that's what we're doing.
100%. Yeah.
And it's interesting because when you think about that, it really goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden and the lie, the deceit that Satan told Adam and Eve, you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. And essentially what was happening is saying you get to define right and wrong for yourself.
Well, and again, look at what the enemy did. He said, did God say?
Yeah.
He actually used God's words and then he made the truth of God's word subjective.
Right.
He didn't mean it that way.
It's open to interpretation.
And so what we do is that we then do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. We interpret God's word however we most feel comfortable. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it has gotten us into some really, really bad places.
Yeah,
and that's why the process of following God through these things, it should be a lifetime. We should get uncomfortable about certain things in our life when we read God's word.
Right.
Because it is perfect and we are not.
Yep, exactly.
And if we ever get to the point that we read it from cover to cover and we're like, I'm good, then we have either died and we're already in heaven and we're just unaware of it.
Exactly. We don't know.
Or we're deceived.
Yeah.
It can only be one of those two.
Well, and it's interesting, like when you, here's Jesus on the scene, and whether, you're looking at the story that you preach from in John 6 or other places, Jesus is basically saying, no, this is the way that it is, right? It's based on God's word. And all the way back in Isaiah, when Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus, he describes Jesus, the coming Messiah, as the cornerstone that the builders rejected, which became a stumbling block.
A stumbling block, yes.
Yeah. And that's what we see in John chapter 6 and in other places. Yeah. And oftentimes we think about, oh, well, that must have been, the Pharisees that stumbled over Jesus. But I think that we can all stumble over Jesus' words.
100%. Because look at the disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, they all stumbled over. I mean, Peter flat called Jesus out at one point when Jesus was saying, like, I've got to die. And he's like, that's not going to happen.
No.
Ain't going to happen. And that it was difficult. Mm-hmm, and it should be difficult.
Right.
Because it's not of this world.
Yeah.
And as long as we are fleshly beings, we are going to experience that.
Right.
Because we know in part. I mean, is what scripture says. We know in part, but one day when we are before him, all of these things will be clear. And the full truth of all of those things will be known.
Yeah. You mentioned something that you said that was interesting. You know, the people, the crowds, they loved his miracles, but not his words.
Yeah.
And when you read, in hindsight's always 20/20, right? And you can see specific examples of those miracles that they loved. You know, the feeding the 5,000. They even said the Bible describes they wanted to make Jesus their king because he fed them. Mm-hmm. The healings, the deliverance, and all the really crystal clear examples we have in Scripture of the miracles of Jesus.
Yeah.
How do you see that playing out in our culture?
Yeah.
In our words? I mean, maybe kind of can you kind of bring that into a modern context?
Yeah. So in today's world, you hear a lot of people describing how Jesus was. Well, Jesus was always with these people. He was always with the poor. He was always feeding the hungry. He was always healing the sick. He was always doing all of these different things. And they look at all of these things. And here's the thing. One 1,000% true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He was always doing those things.
Yeah.
But they ignore the words that he spoke.
Right.
So here we go. Why did all of these people show up at this time that Jesus is talking? Mm-hmm. Jesus says very clearly, he says, you're here not because of the signs. You're here because I fed you.
Right.
And so they show up because Jesus keeps doing all of these things for them. And then when Jesus has this captive audience, he begins to share these words. Unless one is willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, he cannot be my disciple. You can't, you cannot receive eternal life. You can't have any of these other things. And it says this was a hard statement.
Yeah.
And as a result, a lot of people walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they were fine with everything that he was doing up until this point. And in our society today, we do the same thing. We look at it and say, well, Jesus would have done this or Jesus would have done that. And again, it's not that what they're saying isn't true, but it's not all of the truth.
Right.
And so we look at it and we say, well, Jesus would have done this. And so, and here's what they're saying. Jesus was never offensive.
Right. Yes.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying.
Jesus wasn't offensive. Jesus just cared for people. Mm-hmm, Jesus just did these things. Jesus just healed the sick. Jesus just fed the poor. And that's what we should do. We should only ever do these things. We should never be offensive.
That's easy to accept.
It's easy to accept.
That's easy
to accept. If that was all that Jesus was, then they would be right.
Right.
The problem is he said a lot of very offensive things.
Yeah.
He was so bold in his claims that he said in front of the Sanhedrin, I am the Son of God.
Yeah.
They were not happy with that.
Yeah.
All of these people that began to believe that he was the Messiah, when he started talking about the fact that he had to die and that we would have to die with him, they completely rejected him because in their mind, politically, he was going to take over Rome. He was going to conquer everything. They were going to be his people. They were all going to do this. He was going to be a king.
Yeah.
The biggest issues that people had with him were political and cultural.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden, everything that these Jewish people had been living their lives based upon, again, the Old Testament was a shadow. It was always pointing to him.
Yep.
But they wanted their systems, they wanted their structures, they wanted all of these things, and Jesus comes and says, I am the fulfillment of all of those things. And they said no.
Yeah.
This is not how we want it. And so when you see that word, it was difficult. It means it was hard to accept.
Right.
They were like, I don't know. Because I'm pretty content with what I believe, I'm pretty content with how I feel, I'm pretty content with what I have.
Right.
And in order for me to move forward, you're telling me that I have to give all of that up.
Right.
Unless a man is willing to lay down his life, take up his cross, and follow me, he cannot be my disciple.
Right.
Whew.
Yeah.
And
the rich young ruler went away sad.
Yeah. I mean, think about, so modern day, here's a difficult statement modern day. Mm-hmm. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah. No one.
No one. Which means you can either choose to live in an eternity separated from God,
right,
or you can choose Jesus and have an eternity with him and the Father.
Right. Yeah.
That's tough.
It is.
Because I know people, I know people that to this point in their life have been unwilling to choose Jesus.
Right.
And I know what the outcome is.
I know. Yeah.
And that's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I'm either going to subjectively say, that makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that there's multiple ways.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to objectively look at Scripture and say, Jesus, if you said it, I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I may not like it. It may make me uncomfortable. It may bring in some truths that are difficult to handle.
Right.
But Peter's words, you have the words of life.
Yeah.
We have believed and come to know. Yeah.
Where else can
that
I go?
You are the Son of God.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think where a lot of people get stuck is they have not believed and come to know that he is the only truth
right.
that can redeem us.
Yeah. Well, and I look at a lot of this too, and it's like, yeah, I'll let Jesus can be my king. I mean, as long as the provision's coming, you know, yeah. as long as the blessings are flowing.
Yeah, but what happens when they're not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you still going to follow him?
Yeah.
You know, when he calls you to do something that's really challenging.
And that's what happened. They all wanted to follow him so long as it was easy. Mm-hmm, man, it's fun to get around. I got to go to an AIM football game a couple weeks ago. We're going to the game this weekend, and being in there with, you know, 100,000 other people that are chanting the same thing, singing the same songs, cheering for the Fighting Texas Ag. Yep. It's fun.
Oh,
you want to be in the midst of that, and you love to see the big things and all of that. And so, I mean, when people are in those environments, mm-hmm. everything is exciting and fun. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes and he's like, oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Really important point.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do this, you can't have what I'm promising.
Right, right. Hold up.
Wait a second.
Hold up. Yeah.
Yeah. I just came for a free meal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way that a lot of people treat church.
Mm-hmm.
I come here to get what I can.
Right.
And if this church is no longer satisfying every one of my desires, mm-hmm. if they're not saying what I want them to say, if they don't believe the same way mm-hmm. that I believe, we're not talking about whether or not they, you know, we're in agreement over these things. We're talking about whether or not we agree on the Bible being the objective truth.
Right.
And what we do is we treat our church the same way.
Yeah.
We treat our relationships the same way. Mm-hmm. It's not enough to have the foundation of God's word, because we don't see it as being objective.
Exactly.
And so if we disagree on it, well, I'm gonna grab my stuff and I'm gonna go find someone who agrees with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's devastating.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I mean, and I see it in a lot of the ways that, you know, modern relationships are happening right now, where it's like, I want all of this with no cost to me.
Yeah.
With nothing. It doesn't require me of anything. It doesn't interrupt my life in mm-hmm. any conceivable way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, we can be together.
I see that a lot. I'll tell you where I see that the most. I see that the most in modern marriage.
Mm.
Not biblical marriage.
Sure.
Biblical marriage is a mutual surrendering of everything that I am to the mm-hmm. other person.
Yep.
What we have turned marriage into in our society is a contract between two people that says, if you do this, I will, and I do this, then we can go. At any point mm-hmm. when we are no longer satisfied with the contract, we can walk away from
right.
it. And so there is no surrendering my life to you and you surrendering your life to me. It's just, hey, we can actually make this whatever we want it to. It's just I heard some celebrity the other day said it's just a piece of paper, and I'm like, yeah, if that's how you feel about mm-hmm. it. But that is a subjective understanding of marriage,
right?
Not the objective truth that we find mm-hmm. in God's word about what it is intended, what it was created by Him, to be.
Exactly. You know, as we're kind of running short on time, you know, one of the things that I find really fascinating mm-hmm. is Peter's response when Jesus turns to the disciples and he says, do you want to leave me too? Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, just imagine the heartbreak in Jesus' words. And Peter just very vulnerably and very honestly says, where else can we go? You have the words of life. And I think it's interesting that Peter said, you have the words mm-hmm. of life. He didn't say, you have the provision, mm-hmm. you have the financial blessing, you're bringing the political shift.
Yeah.
That we want, you know, you're not changing the circumstances to be favorable. It's no, you have the words of life. You know, as you're preaching this message on people struggling with Jesus's words, but not his works, mm-hmm. here's Peter saying, you have the words of life.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question is, if somebody's watching this or listening mm-hmm. to this and they're saying, yeah, I'm wrestling with some things that Jesus said, or, you know, the Bible says this, or I've got this internal conflict mm-hmm. within me about my faith. How can someone maybe begin to move from that place to more of a place where Peter was at, mm-hmm. where he's looking at Jesus and saying, where else am I going to go?
Yeah.
You have the words of life. Whether you do things that are favorable for me or not, you have the words of life.
So two things. One, you got to spend time in the Word.
Yeah.
If the Bible is subjective, then all truth is viable truth. Yeah. It doesn't matter whether the Bible said it or not, which is why social media can be used for all sorts of things.
Yeah.
If you're still getting your Bible off of social media, mm-hmm. you're missing mm-hmm. the great value. Because you can quote, you can put up any verse and put a pretty background on it and then add a little comment to it, and you can make it mean almost whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And those things are, you know, some of them are great.
Yep.
Others I've read, I'm like, that is mm-hmm. not what that means at all. You know, it's like, that is not anywhere close to it. But there's people that are reading it, and they're, all you have to do is look how many times it's been shared, how many times it's been liked. And I'm like, mm-hmm. all of these people have no idea. Like, no idea. Doesn't know, but we feel good about it. And
sounds
so
good,
how can I have a biblical response to a cultural problem if mm-hmm. I do not know what the Bible says?
Yeah.
And that's what people are doing. They're looking at all of these cultural things that are going on in our world today in their own life. Again, I talked about there's external culture and there's internal culture. Mm-hmm. What's the culture of my heart? What's the culture of my home?
Right.
What's the culture of my marriage? What's the culture of my parenting?
Yep.
What's the culture of my relationships to other people around me? And how can I respond biblically to those things if I don't read my Bible, if I don't know what the Word of God says about it. Mm-hmm. Now it takes time. That book has got a lot of words in it.
Oh yeah.
A lot of words, a lot of pages. And being willing to spend time in God's Word. But there's something else that Peter said right after that, which is so critical. Mm. He said, we believed and we came to know.
Wow.
We believed and we came to know. The believing came before the knowing. Mm-hmm. And so many people, how do you know? I can't tell you exactly how I know, mm-hmm. but I made a decision that I was going to follow Jesus, and over time, I have come to know that he is faithful.
Right.
You don't experience faithfulness day one.
Right.
I gave my life to Jesus. Okay, well, how has your life changed? I have a peace now.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, I hit that first roadblock, and somebody that's been walking with them longer comes to me and is like, hey, here's what I know. Mm-hmm. I know that God is faithful. Well, how do you know that? Because he's been faithful in my life.
Yep.
Well, you don't have that experience yet. So you have at that moment, you get to choose whether or not you believe the promises of God. And Peter's knowing those mm-hmm. things came because he chose to believe. Mm-hmm. He believed. He says, we believe that you are the Son of God. Mm-hmm. They chose to believe Jesus' words. And too often times, we want to have all of the proof, we want to have all of the knowing before we choose to believe.
Right.
And Peter said, we believed and we came to know
right.
that you are the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You possess what it is that we need.
Right.
And know this, they knew the word. They knew those words that were promising this Messiah who would come.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, get in your Bible. Mm-hmm. Spend time in God's Word.
Yeah.
Find a reading plan. But please, please, please read the Word of God for yourself. Know what it says about these things. The Bible provides an answer to everything that you might face if you will take the time to get to know it. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And if I could just add one small thing, and I know we're running short on time, so I'm going to make this as quick as I can. There's an element of trust. I want to say trust the process, mm-hmm. But really it's more of trust the one.
Yeah,
you know who is telling you. It's more about trusting the one who you're in relationship with. And I think about it like this. You know, if someone wants to go get in shape, right, mm-hmm. and goes to the gym or whatever, that transformation doesn't happen overnight.
No.
You know, like you're saying.
Yeah.
And if you trust the process, if you stick with it. Even when it's hard, even when you don't feel like it, if you stick with it, you will see those changes. But guess what? If you quit when it gets hard, you will definitely not see those kinds of results.
And you can believe whatever you want to believe mm-hmm. about it.
Yep.
I had someone ask me the other day, how do I change this? I said, diet and exercise. Mm. And they're like, well, and I'm like, look, you can choose to believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I promise you, if you watch what you eat and you increase your mm-hmm. intake, it's going to change your life.
Right.
But if you're looking for a different way, something that's more, the reason that people, just on this regard, I mean, the reason that people don't die or don't exercise is because it's hard and nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, it's not glamorous.
You know? No, it's like, I don't want to, you know, I love ice cream. I want to eat as much ice cream as I possibly can, but I know it's not going to make me feel good.
Have you tried Bluebell?
Yeah, I know. And so I work out so I can eat ice cream. You know, like there's a cause and effect here.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. And so you have to choose whether or not you're going to trust the source, which is
why
if God's word is subjective, you will talk yourself into a lifestyle that you feel convinced of. Many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
And I will say, I never knew
never
you.
Never knew you. Yep.
That's a hard truth. Really hard one. Mm-hmm. And you can either look at that subjectively and go, he didn't really mean that. Or you can look at that objectively and go, I better change my life. Mm-hmm. If this is true, it should affect everything in my world.
Absolutely. Phew. It's good. Well, we are out of time. Yeah. I know we got to wrap this thing up, but thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to dive into your message. Really enjoyed this conversation today. Yeah. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments. As always, we hope that you got something out of this. And if you have, always let us know, whether it's a comment, a message, an email, carrier pigeon, whatever. We always love to hear from you. Thank you so much again for joining us for another episode of Monday Moments, and we will see you next week.